Hello, Tribe. It is Q&A day with me. While everybody's coming in, I'll tell you where I'm at because you're probably like, what's all that? I'm at the hotel in Nashville. So I'm at the Marriott by the airport and it is camp weekend. We just got through wrapping up the 2-day, which is where people come in 2 days before camp and we do some intense coaching. It's a small group. It's pretty cool. And then we are getting ready to start tonight. Main camp. So I'm done with the 2-day. I wish I had some of the notes because we had some really good breakthroughs. So in case you're wondering if you should ever do the 2-day with me, if you're thinking about whether or not you should have a child or not, you should come because she made a decision to have a baby while she was at camp. We have people who are going to go home and today was a big tearful day where we do this one exercise that clarifies how you feel in your life. And we had several people say that they are going to call their mom, who they haven't called in a long time. They're going to hug people that they haven't hugged in a long time and just really make some good, loving, compassionate decisions for themselves. So it's been wonderful. Every camp's a little different. Every group's a little different. I love all of them. They're so much fun. If you ever get an opportunity to come to one of the events, you should make the time for yourself. I think that's the most important thing, is that these are ladies who are coming in and they're going to spend a couple days or 5 days, depending if they come to the 2-day part, just checking out of life a little bit and checking into themselves, which is something I think most of us don't do enough. And if I had to teach you something, it would be that I learned from working with the girls in the 2-day group, was that I was talking to them about how we need to spend more time checking in. We spend so much of our time in life just checking out of our emotions, checking out of our fears, checking out of our frustrations, checking out of our exhaustion, checking out of our thoughts, checking out of our body. And we forget that we need to do more check-ins. What am I thinking right now? What am I feeling right now? What do I want out of life right now? What do I want for myself right now? Like doing more of that rather than saying, I don't want this right now. Like really understanding how to start checking into yourself. So I always personally learn a lot at these events. One of the reasons why we do so many now is teaches me what you need to know. There's nothing like hearing lifetime feedback as to what's working, what's not, what y'all understand, what you're still hazy on, that kind of stuff. So it helps me kind of really get zoned in on, you know, what's the next best step for us as a tribe. And I always get super emotional, so y'all have to bear with me. I'm sleep deprived already, and it's just, I love being around the tribe, so I'm going to try to make it through this Q&A like a boss. I have been watching other people cry for 2.5 days, and trying to just be strong and be like, let me pay attention. Don't let me get into your sadness with you. And so sometimes I just have to let it go. All right, so it's Q&A day. I don't know that my comments are working like a boss. No one is saying hello. I see people here, but I don't know if anybody actually is here. If you have questions, now's the time to ask them. It's just Q&A with me. My son, I'll just kind of talk a little bit until a question either comes through. I will tell you what I will do. Let me pull my computer up just in case. I never trust the Facebook when it's not showing comments. I'm always thinking that Facebook is having a phone problem. So let me go to our group and see if I can find my Facebook Live. Oh, and I can pull it up simultaneously. Because I would bet you when I say hello and I don't have a single comment, that means there's comments and I can't find them. Oh, yeah. See, I knew it. All right. So it's just on my phone. 59 comments. That's amazing. All right. Everybody say, thank you, Facebook. All right. So if you have a question, will you do hashtag ask and will you ask now? Because it looks like my... I'll tell you what I can do. Let me push play. Let me mute myself and see if that works. Because if I'm pushing play, it might... I'm sorry if you are listening to this on replay. You might as well be hitting that 15-second thing. Because I am just not getting comments. Let me try making it big. Sorry, guys. Let me move you over here. Okay, I've got it. Now I've got it working. This is good. All right, let's see. Hello, Eva. Let's go. I want to come to camp. Lots of people want to come to camp. I'm so sad I'm not at camp. Hey, Christy. But I made an adult decision to put that money towards the things that are needs and wants. Adulting badass. That's funny. I love the crying camp queenie. Oh, that's so hilarious. Y'all always like it when I cry, and I'm just like, let's see. I just got back from a long overseas vacation. I gained 6.6 pounds. How to get back on track? Well, here's how you get back on track, Hillary. What the hell were you doing before you left? That's all you got to do. The only way to get back on track is to quit dwelling on the 6 pounds and start getting focused on what has to happen in order to be on track. I need to be drinking my water, so let me make sure I have it planned. I need to be making sure that my 24-hour plan is done and it's super realistic. Like, you have 6.6 pounds. You got to quit boohooing about it. You got to quit worrying about it. You got to think it throws you off. You know what's throwing you off? You thinking something's wrong. Rather than thinking about what could I be doing right today? What are the things that I could be doing for me? Let's get our mind in check. Like, this is the thing. It's over. You sitting around and bringing all the, like, if you overate, then bringing the overeating into today just makes you feel bad. Decide. Vacation was amazing. It's done. The sooner I start making my plans and start acting like the person I was before, the sooner the 6.6 will go away. And vacation weight never hangs around long. That's the funny thing. It's not like, don't get me wrong, guys, it's not like old fat. Like, 20 years of shit on your hips, it's hard to lose. 6.6 pounds that was gained over the last week, not so hard to lose. It doesn't want to stay. It feels like a visitor. It doesn't feel like it's, you know, your college son living in the basement who doesn't want to, like, ever leave the nest. Let's see. Hi, Corinne. I'm 3 months postpartum and breastfeeding my little guy. I need some advice about snacks. I get ravenous after I feed him. Should I be snacking to my plus two or just enough to hold me over to my next meal? I'd always just go, you can't really go wrong on that at all. You can either plan to just have a, if like, this is the thing, if you're ravenous, is it just because you need a little something? Like, just ask yourself, do I need a little something or do I need to actually eat to my plus two because I'm breastfeeding? Sometimes even my next meal, I'm still at my negative two. Look back and just, or start looking at what's going on there and then just make a decision from there and then test it both ways. Sometimes just have a little and see what happens. Sometimes eat a full on and just see what happens. There's no right or wrong on that one. What's my personal takeaway from camp? I'll let you know next week. We're not done. All I've done so far is the two, there's a 2-day that happens that's just with 30 people, and we coach like on fire for 2 days. And then tonight starts the big camp with the 150 plus people there. So I think so far my biggest, we had some really good nuggets this morning. I think my biggest takeaway so far has been how often exactly what we want in our life and exactly what we need in our life is sitting in front of us and we refuse to see it. We did a couple things today. We did one where, so she was just sold on the idea that time was a problem for her, that there wasn't enough time and that time is an issue. I think her thought was time is an issue for me. And I said, okay, well, let's just break it down. Like, because she had it in her mind that to lose weight, it was going to take a lot of time and that she didn't have enough time for herself already and that she was stressed out and she had to do all this stuff for work and, like, she had a real big story. And I said, okay, let's do it. So we went through the day, and when we tallied up how much real time she had for herself, she had an hour and 51 minutes every day of her own time that she was never giving herself credit for. And it was a super simple exercise. It was like, all right, so you get up at 5:30 in the morning, between 5:30 and 6, you make your 24-hour plan, you pack your lunch, and you get yourself ready for work. That's you time. Okay. Then we went through the day, and it was like, okay, when I get home, I usually take a few minutes to just sit by myself. And I was like, good, most people don't. So that's some more you time. Then she had time where it was like, she had a lunch, a half hour. I was like, that's you time. Like, she only gets 27 minutes for lunch at her job. And so we just started adding it up, and it was like, because she never really thought about that was her time. She always just thought she had to squeeze in lunch or she had to do this. And so that became time she wasted in her brain around herself. And so it was, there was that. And then we did another exercise where people had to go through and they had to ask themselves questions about, like, basically it's a real easy exercise. Like, what did you do in the past 24 hours? Every single thing you did, like every email, like, did you answer email? Did you go on Facebook? Did you do all these things? And then we did another exercise. It's like, okay, if you only had 24 hours left to live, what would you be doing in those 24 hours? And then we did some work around the contrast, and it was very emotional. It was hugely emotional. And there was a lot of ahas in that. And one of the key takeaways, I think, between both of them was the idea that we have what we need in front of us, and we're letting our brain tell the story that we don't. It's like, what if you just took an opportunity to tell, like, allow your brain to tell you the story that it needs to hear right now about the exact moment you're in? Because if you keep fighting the moments you're in and you keep fighting your past, yeah, you're going to feel stuck. You're going to feel exhausted. You're going to feel miserable. And the food is going to always seem like the best option. Hope that helped, Miss Jody. Let's see. I'm trying to find, my comments are going crazy. The last few days has been crazy busy with me not knowing where dinner is going to be. Obviously out to eat. That has nothing to do with crazy busy. Like, separate this shit out. I don't care how many appointments you have or where you're going or whatever. You always know where you're going to eat. A place that has food. Y'all quit saying, I don't know where I'm going to eat. This is an emergency and a catastrophe and my load is hard. No. If you're going to eat, guess where you're going to be? At a place that has food. Sometimes that'll be in your house. Sometimes that will be in a restaurant. Y'all have to quit acting like we're in ignorant times. We have the internet. If you know 2 minutes before you go to a restaurant, look it up. If somebody blindfolds your ass, kidnaps you, drives you in a van with blacked out windows and dumps you in the middle of a restaurant, then give yourself a 2 minute pause to make the decision. Now you know where you're eating. Now you know how to make a decision. Y'all quit being helpless around it. Y'all's problem with your weight, like, if you did all your 24-hour plans for the next year and we only said, okay, the few things, the times we go out to eat. I guarantee you, if I said, how many times do you go out to eat? The majority of you would not be 50% of the year. Some of you maybe. If it's 50% of the year, it's no longer a fucking surprise. It's called what you always do, so you can plan for that. You know the restaurants you go to if you're eating out that often. So make you a menu this Sunday at 7 o'clock in the morning. Get your ass out of bed, make a menu at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then have like the 10 restaurants we go to. Here are the things at each restaurant that I'm able to order. My decisions are made. So when I go in, guess what? My 24-hour plan's already done. But let's just pretend it's less than 50%. And it's 30% of the year. Well, that's not a shock either. But I'm just going to give it to you. That's not a deal breaker in your weight loss until you start saying you're too busy and it's confusing as to what to eat, guys. Eating healthy in a restaurant is not confusing. If some of you are confusing, you are lying to yourself. A vegetable is not confusing. A salad is not confusing. Getting it grilled instead of fried is not confusing. Leaving the bun off of a burger and having fries and eating to your two, not fucking confusing. It's real easy. But when we are in terror that we can't lose weight and worried that we're going to fuck things up, guess what? Confusion takes over. The mask of ignorance drops. Do not do this to yourselves. That is optional drama. Somebody's like, oh shit, she said busy. Hang on, I'm going up here. Having trouble facing the things that are in my head. I don't know if it's fear of failure, fear of digging up the crap from my past that it's going to make me feel. What the hell? I have no problem telling other things that I need to do to help themselves. Why can't I help myself? Well, here's the thing. You have a thought about the things in your head. So this is where I would start. I think the things in my head, like you think it's fear of failure, fear of this, it's fear of what you're going to think about the things that you think. I know that sounds crazy, but here's what I want. Just hang with me for a second. I've been coaching on this. You have things you think and you're judging them. They're going to hurt me. I can't handle it. What if it does? Like, you'll ask stupid questions. Like, what if I can't handle it? It's like, you're already thinking them. You're already handling it. You know what you're doing? You're eating through it instead. But let's just handle it a bit different way. So the first thing for you to do is before you can even address them is you got to get past the fear of digging in. You have to quit telling yourself some story around that it's going to be difficult, painful, and all this other stuff. It's going to be enlightening. I rarely have people say like, well, I was digging around in my head. Well, my life's ruined. I can't handle myself. I'm just going to have to shut it all down, Corinne. I'm done. Most people say, oh my God, I never even realized I was thinking that. Like, I need to know that. Now help me figure that out. That's what I want for you. So let's figure out what you're thinking about that. Come up with that thought. Take it to ask coaches and say, like, this is the problem I'm having. The reason why I'm afraid to dig is because I think these things will happen or I'll feel these things. All right, my computer is locked up. This is great. Hang on. I'm having a hard time. Guys, I'm going to have to just go through questions that I can. The coaches had to eat lunch today. We're at camp for all the newbies who don't know. I am on my own and my phone is broke. Well, not my phone. Facebook's phone app is broken, so I can't see the comments. I'm trying to run them on my computer and the Facebook, it does not like any of this. So I'm going to just get them as I can. If I don't get it today, either ask again or just repost it at some point, but I'm trying to get everything I can. Color me curious. What are the things you tell yourself when the scale doesn't go the way you want it to? Keep working. If I want it to go the way I want it to, can't stop now. Next week will be better. That's some of the stuff I tell myself. I tell myself the truth. Quitting's not an option. Reacting like an asshole makes my ass bigger. Those are some thoughts. What is the best way? Oops, shit. What is the best way to push through old dogmatic diet bullshit? Watch the Diet Mentality stuff inside the tribe. That's what I would do. Like, first thing is like just admitting that your diet mentality is, like you said, it's old dogmatic diet bullshit. Okay, those thoughts are going to come up. You now know they're bullshit. So once you realize it's bullshit, you no longer get to have the excuse of following it. Now it's like, oh, here I am deciding to be a dogmatic bullshit follower. Start telling yourself that story. What we normally do is we get scared and we're like, well, I'm just going to try this. I'm so afraid to let go of my calories and stuff. It's like, no, you need to start making the idea of the diet rules sound outlandish to yourself. Like, why would I ever follow this? It never worked for me. It's telling yourself that story around them when you catch it. And just say like, I'm not doing this. I'm making a 24-hour plan. And if you're bringing your diet rules into your 24-hour plan, say, I'm not doing this. That rule never worked, or I wouldn't be needing a 24-hour plan written by someone else. That is what you tell yourself. You have to say those things when it's happening so that your brain starts understanding, oh, you've taught yourself they're real or that they work or that they could work if only you do this. Now you have to unteach that. And the only way to unteach it is to teach something new. I'm doing better all the time, but still doing too much grab-assing and spontaneous eating off plan. Grab-assing is spontaneous eating off plan. Also, I'm stopping at what I think is my plus two. Then a half hour later, I'm stuffed. Give me all the tough love. Denise, here's what I would do. If you're grab-assing, it's going to be really hard to always meet your two because you're going to start topped off a little bit. And you're going to want to eat what you normally eat. So you need to cut the grab-assing. You need to add, like, first of all, why is it not just planned? Like, my first inclination is Denise hasn't done a really good job yet of making sure that she has a true, realistic plan. Your grab-assing for the next week or so all needs to be on there. And you need to eat it very consciously. Do you wait until a negative 2 to drink your coffee? No, it's part of my morning routine. Cannot seem to figure out how to get notifications when Corinne goes live using iPhone. Has anyone figured out? I don't know how to get notifications either, Brooke. I've never done it. Been able to get it for anybody else. The last person to ask, somebody in here might know. What I normally do is when my favorite people go live on my app, I just make sure that I bring my app up during that time. Like the people that I like, they always send me an email, just like we send y'all emails when it's on the calendar. We just set my calendar to say like, Corinne's going live. I wouldn't leave it up to Facebook. How do you start to forgive yourself for feeling that you have wasted so many? Oh my God, I coached this morning, Diane, that you have wasted so many years on diets, trying to lose weight, etc. I'm 52 and I'm so grateful for you and the tribe, but I'm so aggravated because here's the thing. You need to live your life now. Those years were never wasted. You know what those years did? They happened. Period. You didn't waste anything. Do you want to, like, you're on this earth for 52 years. If you want to be on it another 40, 50 years, get your ass in gear on learning from the past 52 rather than sitting around and wasting 52 through 55 worried about what happened the first 52. Do you want to enjoy the next few years? Do you want to enjoy today? Like, here's how it always works. Past diets. I've wasted so many years. I feel frustrated, sad, angry, whatever. You know what I do in the present? Think about my past, dwell on the past, worry, ruminate, don't work on things that could make me happy now. Sometimes start eating because I feel so frustrated. You know what I'm doing? Wasting my current life. That's what happens. Decide right now, I'm done wasting my life. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look back at my life and never call it a waste ever again because every time I think that, I'm wasting my present. I'm going to look back on my life and I'm going to like it. And I'm going to use it as a tool for me. I'm no longer using it as a tool against me. That's where I would start. I am a shift worker and I'm exhausted all the time. Is there a supplement or vitamin that you recommend for energy? Vitamin D, because if you're a shift worker, you're probably low on it. I would start with that. Drinking plenty of water. And that's probably the only one. I would say vitamin D. I'm new. I love my planner. I have some professional goals like changing my job and all kinds of stuff. I find most of my 3 goals revolve around my other life goals on my 24-hour plan and not my weight loss. I feel like there are steps I could include on there beyond just my meal plan. My weight loss is important to me, but I feel like my meal plan covers my goals. No, it's not incorrect thinking. You absolutely can do that, Amber. Here's the thing. If you find, though, you're not following your 24-hour plan, then one of your goals for the day needs to supersede one of the other ones, and it needs to be like, check in with my plan 3 times today. Like, that would need to come, like, maybe become one. But only if you're experienced. If you're creating your plan and you're doing your assessments and that's working, then those 3 things can be anything you want. Are you and Kathy going to do another recap podcast on camp? I really enjoyed the last one. We might. Yeah, I think so. In fact, we took some really good notes today from just the 2-day. And, yeah, we can put that on there. It's a good idea. I like it. I already did that one. I have depression and I struggle with thought work when I'm having a low moment. Some of the thoughts I have are not healthy and dark. How can I organize them, or should I really be diving into the thought work the most when I'm in a depressive episode? Well, if you want to feel better, I would. The best time to do thought work is when you feel your worst. It's like, what thought could I use to help me feel just a little bit better, to give me a little bit relief from this? It's one of the best times. Sometimes when I'm in one of my super like things, I love to TDL all the crap out. And I just tell myself, I just gave myself a gift of not keeping this in my head. Because keeping it in my head requires me to try to organize it in my brain. It requires me to try to manage it on my own. Like, I don't even have a friend. I look at my TDL as like my friend. It's like I was able to tell someone. I was able to just put it out there. So it's just not taking up the same kind of heavy space that it was. Can you recommend a good book about personal time management? This is something I want to work on in May. High Performance Habits by Brendon Burchard is good. And I would probably start with him, Paula. I really like Brendon Burchard's planner. And he has really good ideas, like a lot of life coachy stuff around time management. I think that might be good. And if you go to the kit store, kit.com/fitandfat, phitnphat. I think I've got his planner and his book in my kit store. So you can find both of those. I need to lose 100 pounds. Please tell me how to find motivation. You do never find the motivation. Motivation is never found. And it's not sprinkled on us or given to us either. And doing the basics like a boss, but the scale's not moving, it's very discouraging. The scale not moving is not discouraging. Your thought about the scale not moving is what's discouraging you. So first and foremost is always taking ownership that nothing outside of you ever controls your ass again. Not food, not someone's words, not the scale, not a look from someone, not even traffic. The day we all decide nothing controls us but how we think is the day we can start really working on how we want to feel. So we don't find motivation. You know what we do? We act. So if you're not losing weight, then you need to keep doing the basics. Because here's what your brain will say. Well, we lack motivation, so we might as well stop doing those basics. You're going to fucking gain weight if you stop doing the basics. So that is not the answer, right? And looking for motivation is not the answer. The answer to weight loss is doing. It's saying, you know, this is the time when I really understand. Like, when you lack motivation, guys, and you're willing to keep pushing forward, this is when you know you really want to lose weight. It's fucking easy to lose weight when the scale moves. It's really easy to lose weight when you push by the program. It's really easy the first couple weeks. You know, when you're committed, when there's no motivation, and you feel like shit, and you're discouraged, and you one-up yourself, and you say, like, you know what? I know I'm discouraged and stuff, but there's no way I'm not going to keep going. I refuse to quit on myself this time. You don't have to feel good and excited. You have to feel committed. Determined and committed doesn't feel real good most of the time. You know what it feels like? Time to get to work. Y'all are always waiting for, like, oh, where's that part where it's real easy to weigh in and gain weight and a magic thought's like, oh, yeah, happy. I'm happy to have gained. No. You're going to sit there and you're going to tell yourself, this is when I know I'm committed because I'm willing to keep doing that 24-hour plan. I'm willing to look back this week honestly to see what was going on. Do I need to change something or do I just need to be fucking patient? Most of us aren't willing to be patient. Patient feels like ass to some of you. You make being patient means it's going to take forever and it's going to be so hard. It's like, no, you know what being patient means? You keep doing shit that works. And eventually, there'll be times when it's working even faster. For all those times, you were being patient for your results. Six of us newbies met for dinner last night. Good for you guys. It was so out of my element that I pushed myself to get out of my head and just relax. And we had an amazing time. I want to sign up for camp next go around, but being alone, knowing no one scares me. And also the big group element makes me think I may shrink back. Do introverts do okay at camp? I would say 70% of the girls that come to camp are introverts. Usually when I have everybody like we do something at the beginning of camp, the majority of them are introverts. We do a really good job of, so before you even come to camp, you're assigned a small group mentor. So you're broke off into groups of 10 and you get a mentor who's been to several camps, who've been in the tribe and stuff. And they work with you for like 2 months before camp comes so that you know people before you even get here. Most of the time when people get here, they can't wait to get here because they've gotten to know their group so well, they have their little posse. So I just use it as an opportunity to grow. Can you talk about how to find an accountability partner or group and why it's helpful? The number of posts are overwhelming. The number of posts, guys, is not overwhelming. That is always a thought. Overwhelm is a feeling felt from some thought. It's like there's numbers of posts. And if your thought is, I'll never find anyone. I don't know what to do or something. You'll feel overwhelmed rather than just being like, there are all these Facebook posts. I can read one at a time and stop whenever I'm ready. Then you don't feel overwhelmed. What most of you do is you convince yourself that this is a problem. It's like, it's Facebook. We're first world country. It's not a problem. Nobody said you need to come in the Facebook group and you need to read every single post. Do not put false expectations on yourself around it. You come in, you read a couple. You get what you need, you get out. You know what you do? You go back to pnptribe.com and you push play on a module. The real work is in pnptribe.com, but to find an accountability group is really easy. If you will go to the search bar within the group and you will type in daily post, look for one that's posted this past Monday or on Monday when we post it, just go to the search bar in the PNP Tribe group and type in daily post, hashtag daily post, one word. You'll find our accountability thread and you post there. And then what happens is it will give you instructions on exactly what to do. And then Mary Jo will make, she likes to comb that thread a few times a week. And she looks for people who don't get paired up. Not going to get paired up the first time. It's like this is the expectation that most of you have for the accountability thing. Well, I reached out once. I don't know why I'm not married. I mean, I went on that match.com. I put out a profile. Where's my marriage? When's it coming? Like, guys, like we gotta like expect we're gonna go through a few duds. There's gonna be some accountability groups that'll be like, no, they talk way too much for me. Or no, they like to check in once a week. I'm a daily girl. They all have kids. I don't. Not a good fit. You're gonna have to date a few. This is where we start getting outside of our comfort zone a little bit. We put ourselves out there. We start deciding what works for us and what doesn't. Now, if you really want a lot of instruction on how to like do accountability and stuff, I have a program inside of PNP Tribe. Go to the toolkit and go to bonus courses and pull up the accountability. We have a little guide in there on not only self-accountability, but how to do an accountability group. Let me just make sure I'm telling you guys right, because we have a program and we have one other thing we may have. Let me look. We'll hook you up and go to community. All right. So if you go to scratch everything I just said, you go to pnptribe.com. You click on the community tab. You hit find accountability. There will be the instructions on how to find an accountability partner right there. That's all you got to do. Let's see. I got to get back to Facebook. Hang on just a second. Sorry. And then we also do have that. We have a guide. This guide will teach you how to find the structure for accountability groups and partners that you need. It will just tell you all about like what are your options? How do you start a group? How do you look for a group? How do you do those things? Best practices. How do you try on groups? All that kind of stuff. All right. Where's my Facebook group? Sorry. I keep losing you guys. I have had two situations where I felt like I was going to pass out at work. Legs feeling numb, blood sugar very weak and low. On both occasions, I had not eaten dinner the night before, only a snack because I wasn't hungry at that time. I had not eaten breakfast yet either because I wasn't hungry. Is this normal with the body changing? It could be your sugar and stuff. Like if you were not eating as great beforehand, it could be highs and lows in sugar. Make sure, I'm going to have blood work done to check and make sure there isn't anything else going on. I'm sticking with my hunger still, so I don't eat when I'm not hungry. If I was you, Jennifer, make sure everything you are eating is like on tap. Like it needs to be good quality fats, healthy carbs. Like if you're experiencing those situations, that means your blood sugar needs to get regulated. That's what I would do. But I would also consult a doctor. Here's the other thing. If you're noticing that like you're just not hungry a lot, but you're having these physical symptoms, just go ahead and rather than having a snack, eat like a regular meal. Watch how fast you're losing weight. Sometimes people just... that hunger scale has to dial in while their body is regulating to how things work. So if I was you, I would just, if you're losing more than 2 pounds a week, just eat a little more and then be like, this is what my hunger scale probably really is. I have trouble at night or when my kids nap. I feel like I deserve a planned treat and autopilot there even though I'm not hungry. Some days I'm fine and don't eat my treats. Some days I think I am biting in that I should not be eating this, but find a way to justify and excuse my actions in the moment. I want to stop planning these treats and move on. You're not ready to stop planning the treats. Here's what I would do. I would plan the treats and every single time say, am I hungry or not? Am I justifying or not? I know one thing's for sure. This is not a deserve it moment. This is a, it's either on my plan and I'm having it, or I'm not having it and it's on my plan. We have to break the conversation around it being a treat and a deserve and all this other stuff. It's like, it's on the plan or it's not. That has to happen. And so I would not take them off the plan yet. I would have that as a trigger so that you get reps on talking to yourself that no more deserve treats. You know what you deserve? Your dreams and your goals. You're not a dog. I don't give a fuck how hard you work. If you work really hard, you deserve to take a nap while the kids take a nap. If you're not hungry, you deserve to sit there and enjoy your thoughts. That's what you get. I'm on plan about 85% of the time. What is a good level up for me for next week? Try to go to like 90% of the time if you're tracking the numbers. I'd like a stretch challenge, but I can work on every day. I'm currently leaving bites at every meal, but I was wondering what has worked for others when leveling up, or should I reach 100% plans on first? Well, I think your level up is getting on plan. Like end whatever causing you to be off plan. Really dial your focus in there, because that 15% could be huge for you. So before you do any, that is a level up. It's just like, okay, I'm at 85%. Let's get to 100. What do I need to work on to get to 100? How do I find the answers to my questions? I'm reading them out loud. Do you mean, I'm not sure what you mean, Diane. Could you type in where are you posting questions and I can help you? I had a cool partner and she just quit on me. I was bummed for a couple of days, but I'm going to start looking again. I really like checking in with someone. Hey, and guys, this is the thing that I want you all to remember. When people quit, you'll say like, she quit on me. She did not quit on you. This is what happens. Sometimes people are just going through some shit. Like, we should all understand there's no one in this tribe who probably could say like, I don't really understand what you're talking about. There are times we are up in our head and we just can't take accountability. We just can't even take an opinion. We can't even show up for someone else, because showing up for ourselves has so much drama internally for us. It's never about you. Y'all asked me what I've learned at camp. On the first night, I made all of them commit to saying this: it's never about me. It ain't about me. Quit making it all about you. It's the most selfish thing we ever do in the world. We think when somebody's having a bad day, or when they can't do accountability and stuff, it must be about me. It's like, get over yourself, queen. It ain't about you. You know what it is? People who come to PNP have a lot of head case drama. That's why they join. They want to do the mental work. There are going to be people who quit in the accountability groups, not because of you. They're going to quit because they can't do it for themselves. And we need to have compassion for them. Because when you make it about you, you can't hold compassion for them. Like, we have to always remember that. Like, when we're making it about ourselves, we're either making ourselves feel terrible or something. And we want to hold compassion for the people who just can't hold compassion for themselves right now. Where do you do your weekly, monthly goals plan with the high performance planner? I'm liking it, but it's so focused on just one day. They have a weekly planner in there, Laura. They actually, in the high performance planner, there is a monthly. What I do though for the weekly is, because it's really assessment based, is I draw a square at the upper top and I put in there, here's the three things. These are my three primary focuses for the week. And then I just flip to each page and I just write all over that thing. And I write like, what are the tasks that have to get done to get that done? And then I start scheduling them on the calendar for the next week. But they do have some stuff in there. I just kind of treat it that way. I have lipedema in my legs and upper arms. It's a resistant type of fibrous fat. Do you think when I lose 100 pounds, it will be better? I've done too much research and it feels very defeating. How about we lose 100 pounds and then we deal with it then? Who cares? Like, seriously, I want you to think, am I really going to let lipedema and my fear of what may or may not happen alter one bite of food I take today or than 3 days? Like, every moment that I'm focused on that little piece takes my eye off the prize of how I can be the best version of me today. It doesn't allow me to conquer the 100 pounds. Your mind, like, I always like to tell myself, my mindset may change so much between now and then, no sense in even trying to predict what will happen. So I think what I'm going to do is like lose 100 pounds and on the way down figure out how to love myself, and I'll deal with that then, because then I will have built the person that loves me. Trouble coming up with powerful thoughts. That if you are having a hard time, Vivian, coming up with a powerful thought, what I would do is I would post in the tribe like, here's my doo-doo thought. What are y'all's suggestions for powerful thoughts? That's an amazing way, because then you'll get like a ton of responses on that. If you don't want to do it inside of the tribe, go to Ask Coaches and say, here's a thought that I keep thinking and I'm looking for my level up thought. Here's like top three things I'm guessing at. That just starts, because here's the thing. When we keep thinking we have trouble with our thoughts and we keep thinking we don't know, then we start shutting down our own ability. I want you guys to get better at guessing things versus defaulting that you don't know or have trouble with it. It's like, no, I don't have any trouble. I may not know, so I'm going to guess. Get good at guessing. What can I do to not lose my shit? I'm seriously hiding out from my mom in the bathroom at the restaurant. I'm at my wall. I just cleaned my whole plate so I wouldn't have to interact with her. Well, I'm glad that you let someone that you're so angry with cause you to overeat. That was on you, not on mom. I've come so far and have had to keep my distance, but since my parents were in a bad car accident, I've had to re-engage more than I can handle. She is my biggest trigger. I've been saying the word neutral in my head for the last 3 hours to keep focused. When I'm finally able to take her home, I always feel like I've been emotionally and physically abused. I'm never good enough for anything. Yeah, but here's the thing, Katie, the majority of that conversation is going on in your head. She thinks I'm not good enough. She thinks this. She's saying these things. I believe her. Because you wouldn't be angry if you didn't believe her. She should be better. She shouldn't say those things. You're emotionally and abusing yourself through the whole thing. No wonder you're fucking exhausted and needing to clean your plate. Here's the inner dialogue that needs to happen. She's not good with her words or emotions, so I need to not pay attention to them. It's not worth eating over. It's not worth me later on not feeling good about myself because I overate. I am done overeating and having to deal with my own stuff because I choose not to think differently about my mother. You don't need to sit there and love her, but you also don't have to sit there and be like, she should be better. She shouldn't say that. I'm not good enough. She thinks I'm not good enough. Who cares what she says? You know what I care about? Why do you believe it? Why do you think that's any reason at all to overeat? It's the worst excuse to overeat. It's like saying, oh yeah, you're the kind of person that really pisses me off. I'll show you. Let me harm myself. It makes no sense. Take her home and then do some work around why you allow her words or her actions to ever cause you to think anything negative about yourself. Why can't she just say all of that and you just be so solid on the amazing person you are? It's like, she's fucking wrong. It's too bad. She's missing out on an amazing version, an amazing daughter. That's the only thing that's happening here. If I'm not hungry or at -2 when I wake up, is it still okay? Yes, just have your coffee. Let's see. I planned on an exception meal tomorrow. I'm worried about my perfection mentality creeping in and either not enjoying the meal or having trouble with mental bullshit after. Well, here's the thing. Your perfection mentality doesn't creep in. Just say, I have a tendency to have perfection mentality. This is probably what it's going to sound like tomorrow night. I want to be prepared for it so that I can also think these things at the same time. Because your thoughts aren't going to just change overnight, guys. That shit does never not happen. And you might not enjoy the exception meal the first couple times, Amanda. Here's the thing. Are you willing to not enjoy it 2 to 3 times while you, like, manage your mind and redirect your thoughts and stuff for a lifetime of being able to enjoy it? I mean, that's what I would ask myself. How to take power in my own hands instead of pulling it out of and putting it in other people's hands. Your brain. That's how you do it. Like, when you catch yourself thinking somebody else controls how you think, like, guys, a lot of this stuff, if you're really interested in this and you've done your work in the No BS for, we are starting, I think we started module 2 this week, then what I would do is I would jump over to module 4. It won't hurt you to just go on to module 4 and start listening to that one. For all of you who have like a lot of this, like, how do you take back your own power? That's a question that once you guys do that, you can tell me like where you're giving your power away and be more specific, and then I can actually help you. But in general, it always starts with, if you want to take your own power back, the first thing you have to realize is that nobody can take power away from you to begin with. You either believe what people say or you don't. Their opinions about you are either right or they're wrong. Like, keeping it really simple, that how I think about me is all on me, never about anybody else and what they think. Even if they say, you're a fucking horrible person, I don't like you and I don't even want you in my life, that still is just a circumstance that happens, and you have to internalize that. It could be like, well, what a bitch, I'm out. Or it could be, oh my God, I've hurt their feelings, I need to act all weirdo and try to get them back. What can I do for you? Is there anything I can, like, we all get to decide what we make things mean. In my early 20s, I used meth. I've been clean for 13 years. After listening to your podcast, I did not eat anything after dinner last night. Getting sober, I craved sugar and would use food to stay clean. I didn't realize I was still doing it. Not eating last night was a nightmare. I craved drugs. Oh, shit. This thing went... Well, I craved drugs and wanted to crawl out of my skin. Should I eat healthy snacks or not eat to break the cycle? You could go either way, Melody. I would just decide. If you really think you're going to, like, actually do drugs, I'd probably just plan a healthy snack until you can figure out how to wean off of that. If you think, like, if it's like, I craved drugs, but I'm so not a drug user anymore, I would never do meth. Feels like shit to crave it, but I would never do meth. I'd probably just go through it. I figure anybody that can get off meth can probably get off snacks at night. That would be my opinion. I have been sick for 2 weeks now. I find my 24-hour plan is more based on eating when I need to, as my appetite is off. Sleeping in tons of water, that's fine. I blew up at my husband, had a bad migraine, and felt bad later. Probably. If I blew up at my husband because I had a migraine, I'd feel bad too. You know what I also would do? Like, time to apologize. He's probably going to be pissed. He's probably going to think it was unfair. He may even say a few of those things to me. I'm humble. That's what I would do. I'm sure I don't know my 2 to 2. Any advice on how to find it? Strategies for eating while I'm trying to find it. Continue to pay attention. The best strategy for the 2 to 2 is to literally always be asking, like, as you're nearing the middle part to end of your meal, just be like, what am I thinking? Do I think I'm done? Maybe. I don't know. Let's see. Take another bite. Okay, now I'm going to try to not take another bite for like 2 minutes. I'm going to see where I'm at. And if I'm still hungry, I'll just keep eating. And I'll sit here for 2 minutes and practice with food in front of me. It's a good time to practice being uncomfortable with food in front of me and me not busying myself with eating. We'll do some of that. And then, Kathy, one of the things we're doing next week is we're doing a hunger scale challenge. Y'all have to use hashtag ask so I can see them, okay? I have a habit of falling into overwhelm with the busyness of my life. I know that what I schedule is my choice and it's up to me to change it. I actually love the things that are keeping me busy. So just quit saying I'm busy for one. Say I'm scheduled. The thing I'd like to work on is getting out of thinking I'm overwhelmed. Yeah, because you keep thinking you're busy instead of scheduled. Overwhelmed people know what they're supposed to do next. Busy people are sitting around busying themselves to feel something, to feel important, to feel good, to avoid disappointing someone. That's what busy people do. Real busy people are like all over the board with a mismanaged mind. Overwhelmed, and that leads to your overwhelm. Scheduled people are like, these are the things on the schedule. Like, this is what happens. Sometimes shit happens and I've got to rearrange the schedule, but I'm always on some kind of schedule. I know how to prioritize. I'm never busy. I'm moving from thing to thing to thing. That does not lead to an overwhelmed life. How can I let go of guilt around an adult son that refuses to launch and somehow blames me for everything wrong in his life? Well, you have to start, are you to blame for everything that's wrong in his life? Or can you say, like, that's his opinion? I could see why he's afraid to launch. That's why he lashes out at me. When people are in fear of becoming a grown-ass person, of changing who they are, changing their life, leaving the nest, it's natural they're going to lash out. Like, when we're in fear, guess what most of us do? Lash out with food. We got the lady who's angry with her mom. What'd she do? Overeat. It's not a stretch to understand why somebody would blame parents. It's easy to blame parents. You know why? Especially if he's like living in your house. You're unconditional love. You're the very person they're going to do it to. All of us sitting around shocked like it should be different are just wrong. Because it's happening. You don't have to feel bad that he's doing that. Just be understanding that that's why. But you also can be like it. All it gets me is taken advantage of. It is because you think he should be appreciative or something. There's something going on there. He should be showing up a certain way. What needs to happen is you need to understand. He thinks you should be a different way. You think he should be a different way. And neither one of you like that. So, because if you want him to appreciate who you are, first step is don't wait on the other person to do the work you need to do. You do that yourself. I wake up during the night and raid the kitchen. I actually feel like it isn't even me eating. Some people do that. What you can do is you can make the food harder to get. You can also, like, there are, I think we have some coaching calls. If you will go to pnptribe.com, click on latest recordings. Up in the top is the search bar. Type in nighttime eating or middle of the night eating. I know I've coached a couple people on this, but a lot of it is going to be you, like, really deciding that when you catch yourself in the middle of it, stopping. What I do find a lot of nighttime eaters do is they get started and then they feel terrible that it happened again and they finish rather than, oh, I need to catch this and practice stopping it in action and being okay with that. And eventually it trains your brain not to do it. And then you have to train your brain and all the other times, like the times when you do notice you're doing it, you don't get out of bed. You don't go get the food on the times you are conscious. I'm being an asshole about planning the snack. Three meals I'm good with, but I'm stalling out on planning a snack even though there's an 8-hour stretch between lunch and dinner. If you're already eating the snack, Kathleen, you need to plan the snack. You're bullshitting yourself. If you're not hungry during that 8 hours and you don't need it and you're just whining about the 8 hours, then no, you don't get to plan a snack. Lots of people don't eat for 8 hours. A lot of people in here go to sleep every night and they wake up 8 hours later and sometimes have to do a commute and it's 10 hours since they ate their last meal and they don't have to have a snack. I think we forget that that actually can happen quite easily every single day of our lives. So it's not about the 8 hours. It's like, plan the snack or not. Do you need it because you get hungry? Then it needs to be on the plan and you have to just be like, I'm done making this a big ordeal in my life. When you're trying to find your two, do you put a serving of each type of food on your meal at a time and go slowly? It just depends. Like, I like to eat my stuff all combined. Like, I'm a stirrer. It's up to you. You just eat what you like. Like, I always start, here's how I do my food. I start with what I like the most. Because if I'm going to hit my two, I want to make sure that what I love got down this gullet, like, first thing. I'm always going to be gaming to enjoy my shit. Wanted to let you know my gauging, if I'm satisfied, is rubbing off on my 8-year-old. I heard her the other day say, well, I'm satisfied. I should quit. That's amazing. I never realized how much I like the feeling of full, even if it means I feel tired and sluggish. What kind of thought work should I be doing around this? Quit telling yourself you like it. Let me ask you this. Do you like it right now? When you weigh in on Fridays, do you love it? Like, we always think we like the feeling of full, and this is what I like to tell people. That's a thought. It's not an actual fact, and it's one that doesn't serve you. So repeating the story, you like that, gives your brain evidence that it should be done. Like, it's just something that's supposed to happen. And so what you want to do is you tell yourself, it's like, I don't like the feeling of full. I may eat till I'm full sometimes, but I don't like it when I weigh in. I don't like it when, like, my pants don't fit. So that you start associating the feeling of full with some negative connotations rather than you loving it or it's serving a purpose for you. All right, guys, that's everything. I don't know if I actually got everything because the Facebook app is like acting like a fooling today, but we've been going an hour anyway. So I'm going to get off here. You guys have an amazing, amazing day. We are at camp. The coaches are coaching like crazy the entire time. You're not going to miss us. I will see all of you on Monday night for coaching. And y'all just keep taking care of each other. We're so proud. We were talking last night. We are so proud of how the newbies are doing. You guys are asking such amazing questions. You're getting in there. All my people who've been around for like a year, 2 years, everything. I love watching you teach. I think that might bring some of the biggest pride and joy in my heart is when I see you guys teaching and when you guys leading. And when you guys you're not perfect and you've still got lots of stuff to work on and stuff, and you're willing to just like keep on going. I don't know. I love what we're doing here. I love everything. And when I say we, I don't mean me. I love what we as a tribe are doing here. There's just not enough of it going on in the world. Okay. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.